Well, good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson, and today I am with you by way of video, and there's a reason for that. You may have heard in just some of the stories of the church of a young woman in our church community. Her name is Devin Leondis. Well, when she turned 16, her father asked her, "What do you want special for your sweet 16 party?" And she said, "Dad, I'd like to build water wells in Africa." Well, the family was kind of taken back, but they actually saw that this happened, and they raised money, and for her 16th birthday, they opened some wells in Africa, three of them to be exact. But as she matured into a young college woman, she had another dream, and that was to open an orphanage in Africa, specifically the country of Ghana. And Pastor Frank and I, along with about 50 people, are now in Ghana for the dedication of that orphanage. In other words, the dream of Devin Leondis has become a reality. And so we wanted you guys here in Syosset to be up to speed on our summer message series, which is called Wonderful Name, just to give you the same footing, the same foundation that we're giving all the other campuses. So just because I'm in Africa, I'm here with you today by way of video, and this was filmed fresh just for you guys. Hey, a few weeks ago, we had our Father's Day celebration. If you remember it, we had a special opportunity for kids to get free ice cream. All the kids were encouraged to fill out a little sheet of paper asking various questions. One of the things they were asked to do is to draw a picture of the pastor. So it's funny, a few days after we had this, the stack of pictures of me were placed on my desk just to see what the kids drew. I wanted to show you four of them today just to have some fun because I think they captured who I am. Here's the first one I want to show you. In this picture, you see what I like to think is a very laid-back guy, just at ease with himself and the world, and I think whoever drew this captured that I am that kind of laid-back guy. This next picture, though, I think actually focused on my intellect, the fact that I am quite a smart person. Take a look at this, the picture of the giant head. Now, I know what you may be thinking. Maybe they're drawing Pastor Jack because he's so smart. Oh, no, no, no. Jack has a full head of hair. This is a balding guy. That's me that they drew, and I clearly have great intellect being shown in this picture. Hey, this next one shows that I am just a real cool guy. I mean, you just come to me and you say, "Hey, that pastor is so cool." What was so funny is on the Sunday we had our video of Danielle Strickland preparing us for the Leadership Summit, I actually went to all three campuses. And after I was here in Syosset for the last service, I got on my scooter and my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, was sitting on the back. And this probably 12 or 13-year-old girl comes up to me in the parking lot right in front of the church. And she says, "Pastor Steve, you have swag." And I have no idea what swag was, but it sounded pretty good. Meanwhile, my 16-year-old daughter is whispering in my ear, "Dad, you do not have swag. Do not believe her for 1 minute." Made us all laugh. Hey, this last photo, though, once again captures how I think of myself. You see this? Super pastor. Looks like Superman. If you think, again, could that not be Pastor Steve? Just look at that head again. There's only five hairs on the top of it. Clearly, this is Pastor Steve. You know, when you look at pictures, you realize that they are an image, an idea, focusing on who is this person. Now, we had some fun with these pictures. But there is an image that all of us have of God. Who is he? What is he like? And when we consider that image, we want to see, as believers, can we get to the heart of who our God is, who it is that we serve, who it is that we worship? I want to take you on a brief journey. You don't need to open your Bibles to this, but of a conversation that Jesus had with religious leaders at the time. It's found in John chapter 8, and there's actually a debate going on relating to who exactly is Jesus. And as the conversation reaches its culmination, Jesus says these words, that Abraham looked forward to the day that Jesus would walk on earth, and he saw that day and rejoiced. To which the response was, how could that be? You are not old enough to even know Abraham. You're not 50 years old. But it was at that point that Jesus said these amazing words, before Abraham was born, I am. Now they knew what he meant by that, and they picked up stones to stone him because he had just called himself by the divine name, the I Am. What is that name? Well, to understand the depth and wonder of that name, we're going to look at where that name was revealed to Moses. Let me show you what that name looks like right now with these four Hebrew consonants or radicals. These letters are sacred in the Jewish community. If I took you back in time to about 500 AD, we could introduce you to a community called the Masoretes. They lived in what would now be modern-day Israel. But these people are very important to us as a church. They were Jewish. They're important because they meticulously preserved the scripture that was passed down to them. Their goal was to copy these manuscripts so that a generation such as ours would have the ability to have the Hebrew scriptures. Well, how serious did they take this task? Well, they would wash themselves before they began the process. They would get a parchment that needed to be of an exact size. Usually it would be an animal skin. They counted how many words would go on this animal skin. And when they came to the very name of God, the name you saw on the screen, those four Hebrew letters, they did something unique. They actually washed the pen that they were writing with. And then they would bathe themselves from head to toe before writing that name. And it did not matter how many times that name would show up in the text, they would wash themselves again. So how many times does that name show up in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh? 5,000 times. They did this because the name was precious to them. It is the name that God revealed to Moses. And I'd like you now to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, as we look at the first 15 verses together. Now, if you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 57 in any of the Bibles located around the room. Before we read, though, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Just because I'm here by way of video doesn't mean we don't give reverence to the time of preparing our hearts for reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have right now the opportunity, the window, to see the day, the moment that you revealed your name to Moses and through Moses to us. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us and help us to see the wonder and the mystery revealed of your great name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading the passage right here, and I encourage you again to have your Bible open and to read along as I read again Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to restore them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have been brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. What is that name that Moses received from God? I am who I am. It is in our Bibles as the word Lord, and the word in the Hebrew is Yahweh. Yahweh. It is a to be verb. It is speaking of the becoming one. And it could be translated, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. Now, when the Masoretes came to this holy, sacred word, as they were writing their manuscripts, they thought this word is too holy to pronounce as it would be pronounced, or what they felt should be pronounced. And so what they did is they added vowels that would pronounce the word in a different way. Now, if you see in the screen, here's an example of a Hebrew word with the vowels. This is actually a gift that the Masoretes gave us through history, because the ancient language didn't have any vowels. But the Masoretes, by putting these dots and dashes, they provided the vowels, which actually gave us an ability to pronounce the words as the ancient world would pronounce it. So if you go to Israel today and they speak Hebrew, they are speaking it in a very similar way that the ancient Hebrews would speak it. But the vowels they used when they came to this word were not to make it pronounced as Yahweh, but to pronounce it as Adonai. Now, Adonai is the Hebrew word for Lord. So if you said, I am Lord of the manor, or how are you doing, my Lord? It's just a term of politeness. But they felt that because the name of the Lord is so holy, so sacred, they put the vowels for a different word, Lord, just as a polite way of pronouncing that word. In your English Bibles, though, the 5,000 times that this word comes, the way your translators let you know that you are actually reading the very name of God, they use all capital letters. So L-O-R-D, all capitalized. It's in this now context of this revelation that Moses hears the name of God for the first time. Now, what do you do with that? How does Moses respond to this? What is going on to understand what this name means? Well, there's a hermeneutical principle. Hermeneutics simply means the study of interpretation of the Bible. And the hermeneutical principle is this, that context determines meaning. So when God revealed his name, it was an opportunity for this God to help us understand who he is. And this name becomes foundational for all other names that God uses to describe himself. So to understand the mystery and wonder of what this name is all about, look at this conversation of what we just read between Moses and the Lord. So first of all, God introduces himself. And he says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So we see that there is a historical context to this name. But now we gain something else because Moses asked God a particular question. We drop back into the text in verse 11 and we read this. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's a great question Moses asked. Why did God pick him? Just imagine this for a moment. God says, I have heard and I have seen the misery of my people in Israel. And so Moses is like, great, God's going to act. God's going to do something. And then God says, therefore, I am choosing you, Moses, to go to the most powerful leader in all the world and tell that leader, let my people go. And Moses asks a very reasonable question. Why me? Why would you not do this on your own? But then God answers Moses, and that answer helps us understand part of the meaning of what this word Yahweh, or the I am who I am, means. God says, verse 12, and God responded, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, of all the signs that God could have given Moses, I personally would have preferred, here, Moses, let me show you a miracle right now, and this will be the sign that it is I who am giving you this command. But the sign that God gives Moses, he says, after you go to Egypt, and after Pharaoh releases all the people, and you're back here at this mountain, standing at this big vacant valley with a million strong, then you will know that it was me who spoke to you. But what nuance of meaning do we get for the name of God from this little interaction? That God's name implies presence. He is with you. He is with us. Now you may wonder, what is the connection between I am who I am and the word Lord, one word, Yahweh? You see, Yahweh is a contraction of the phrase, I am that I am. In fact, this is the only scripture in all of our Bibles where the phrase or the word Lord is defined as the one who is becoming. Once again, I mentioned that is a to be verb. So how does this unfold? What does it mean? Well, first of all, it means that this God is the God of the past. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, what does that mean to Moses? When he thinks of Abraham, he remembers a story that this is the God who called to a man who lived in a small community called Ur and says, leave your community, go to the place by faith that I'm going to show you. He takes Abraham, has him look all around and says, all of this is going to belong to your descendants. This is the God who gave Sarah, his wife, the barren woman, a child. He is the God who brings life where there was no life. That child's name is Isaac. It means laughter. This is the God of that child, Isaac. And he is the God who, when Isaac needed a wife, he brought that wife to Isaac miraculously. He is also the God of Isaac's child, Jacob, in which we see that this is the God who chose between Esau and Jacob, and that Jacob became God's chosen one. And even though his name literally means heel catcher or conniver or schemer, God changed his name to govern by God. So in other words, when Moses hears God introduce himself as I am that I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is hearing the history of how God interacts, how he draws people out to a people to himself. Even in this encounter, What does Moses see? He sees a bush that is burning but is not consumed. What does that tell Moses about this God? This is a God who seeks you out, who hunts you down, who wants relationship with you. But he's also the God of the present. And Moses brings up a real issue, a question that is going to emerge. It shows up in the next verse we draw our attention to. The verse is verse 13. Moses says to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" That's an odd question to us. Did the Israelites not know the name of their God? Actually, they did have a name for God. They called him Elohim, which means God. And they would also use a contraction of Elohim, just the first two letters, El, and they would add a phrase Shaddai, or God Almighty. They would regularly call God this, and we see this all through the book of Genesis. But what they are asking, what Moses is anticipating, is not a brand new name for God, but they want to know, what revelation, Moses, do you have in your encounter with God that contributes to our understanding of who this God is? You see, Moses has a life context. In every situation where we see that God is describing himself, we find that there's a context. Let's look back in the book of Genesis. You have Hagar, who is kicked out of the household of Abraham and Sarah. She's lost in the wilderness with her son, and she feels abandoned, she feels alone, but there the angel of the Lord meets her, and she gives God a brand new name. He says, "You are the God who sees me." Now, that's a very powerful name of God that you and I can say referring to God, but it comes out of a context that helps us understand what is the depth of meaning of that name. Well, what is the context in which God meets Moses in this wilderness? Well, do you remember Moses' foundation? Moses was, as a young man, a prince of Egypt, successful, powerful, privileged. But at age 40, he murdered an Egyptian, and he flees for his life. Now, after the murder, he ends up in the Sinai Peninsula, what they call in the text as Midian. If you've ever been there, it is a bald rock. And now he looks at himself, 80 years old. Who is Moses? "I am somebody who had it all and lost it. I am now a shepherd in a desolate place. And I have no prospects that the future is going to be any better than my past." But into that context comes the Lord God Almighty in the burning bush, who identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses' presence in this moment. And now he says these words to him. We drop back into the text. And what are those words? Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.'" He's a great Hebrew scholar. I had the privilege of having him as a professor. His name is Walter Kaiser. Of this text, Walter Kaiser says these words: "This construction is used to express a totality, intensity, or emphasis to the form so highlighted by repetition, and it means, 'I am truly he who exists and who will be dynamically present then and there in the situation to which I am sending you.'" What is God saying to Moses? "Moses, I am the God of your past. I was there. I know what happened in the past. I was with your people in their past. Moses, I am the God of your present. I know that you're in the desert. I know you're in the middle of Midian, and it feels like there's nothing left. But I am also the God of your future. I have seen your future, and I believe in your future. What does this ultimately mean? Here is, I think, a good definition of what this sacred name of God means. The I am who I am. The I will be who I will be. The Lord, the God, Yahweh. It's this. I am, or the Lord, is the dynamic presence of the living God in every moment of your life. The I am is the dynamic presence of the living God in every moment of your life. There is not one time, there is not one place where you will go where you cannot know deep down inside that the presence of the Lord is with me. The presence of the God who was in my past, the presence of the God who will be in my future. There is a commentator, his name is Alexander McLaren. And Alexander McLaren looked at the metaphor of the burning bush, and he sees in it a picture of what the great I am is like. Here's what he writes. The Lord is different from us. All other beings are derived, and therefore limited and changeful. This being is underived, absolute, self-dependent, and therefore unalterable forevermore. Because we live, we die. In living, the process is going on by which, in the end, we end up dead. But God lives forever, a flame that does not burn out. Therefore, his resources are inexhaustible, his power unwearied. He needs no rest for recuperation of wasted energy. His gifts diminish not the store which he has to bestow. He gives and is none the poorer. He works and is never weary. He operates unspent. He loves and he loves forever. And through the ages, the fire burns on, unconsumed and undecayed. This word that Moses received and the context by which Moses received it and now gives it to the people of Israel and ultimately to us is the foundation for every other name of God in Scripture. I want to show you a slide. This is a slide of many of the names of God. Now, on the one side of the slide, you'll see the name Jehovah. Jehovah is another derivative of the word Yahweh. It was actually mistakenly pronounced Jehovah based on the Masoretic vowels. But if you see on the other side where it says the variety thing, the Lord is our peace or the Lord is our strength, and you see that capital Lord, that word Yahweh is the foundation for every other name of God. So when Hagar cries out, "You are the Lord who sees me," it is a description of Yahweh who sees me, or Yahweh who heals me, Yahweh, and fill in the blank. And here's the other amazing thing. This name of God has a dynamic relationship to you and to me. Because as we live life, as we experience life, we incorporate a new meaning, a richer meaning of what Yahweh or the Lord or the great I am means. I'll be honest with you, though, when you see God in his greatness, and you could picture Moses on this mountain, on holy ground, taking his shoes off, and having the Lord pronounce his name, you almost feel the weight and heaviness of God's great glory. And you may feel that it is too much. How do you conceive? How does a finite mind process the infinite? But I take you back to that scripture I told you about at the very beginning. That scripture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 56. As I mentioned, Jesus was in the middle of a conversation. Let me read the passage exactly for you. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad." The people said, "You aren't 50 years old. How can you say that you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am." What did Jesus just say? I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am your God. Why that helps me is because this great God recorded in the Old Testament in this amazing encounter that Moses has became flesh and lived among us. He healed our sick. He raised our dead. He gave good news to the poor. And now the great I Am is accessible and near. We had a tragic passing in Shelter Rock Church this past week. The family has kept it somewhat quiet, but a 32-year-old son passed away very tragically. And this past Friday, I went to the cemetery in Melville, right off Route 110. And after the graveside was completed, I realized that this is the same cemetery that my father was buried in. And so after everyone had disappeared, I walked over to my father's grave. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was July 1st. It was my dad's birthday. And I went over to that tombstone, and I thought it was ironic that here I am on his birthday. And I read these words that my brother and I put on that tombstone. The first says this. It says, "The trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable." And I was celebrating in my heart that my dad knew Christ. And then my father, always a lover of music and a worship leader for most of his life, we put one of his favorite hymns on the bottom of that gravestone. It says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." And I realized this, that this great God, the great I Am, the maker of heaven and earth, as Pastor Jack shared last week, the Word of God who spoke worlds into existence, is also the God who lived among us, gave his life that we might have eternal life. Today, I pray you know him, this great I Am, in the person of Jesus. As I am in Africa opening an orphanage and cutting the ribbon, maybe today you could cut the ribbon in your own heart and invite the great I Am to live in you. How do you do it? You acknowledge you're a sinner. You admit you need a Savior, and you welcome him in to begin your life afresh. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that even by way of video, your presence is here in this room. Father, I pray that you would help each man, each woman, each student in this room grasp the wonder of the great I Am who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. And if there's anyone who has never entered into a living relationship with your Son, we pray that today will be their day to welcome him in. We give you our praise. We give you our glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you soon.